You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, welcome back. It's good to have you here for church today. I'm really excited to share this message with you. If you're joining for the first time, my name's Lee, the pastor here at Gateway. And it's an honor to be able to bring the Word of God to you wherever you are today. And my message today is called Practicing Righteousness. Maybe a message that you haven't heard before, but I truly believe that by the time we get to the end of today's message, you'll be like, I want to go about my week, I want to go about my days practicing the righteousness that God has given me. So I want to encourage you with this word today, this word that I believe that God has placed on my heart. But I also want us to be challenged by the Word of God today to practice the righteousness that Jesus has given. You know, it says in Titus 2:11, I'll get to that in a second, but before I go there, I want to establish two things today. That when you receive Jesus, you are made righteous. That's the first thing I want to establish today. The second thing I want to establish is that your righteousness needs to be practiced. It's great to receive righteousness, but you've got to do something with it, to exercise it, to grow in it. See, this is a reminder for each of us today that we have right standing with God when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is what the Bible says in Titus 2:11. Says this, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Grace of God, Jesus has been revealed, and he brings salvation to all people. So let me say that again. We're establishing today that God gives righteousness to every single person who accepts Jesus. Your salvation has been revealed by the grace of God, Jesus. And for those of you who don't know Jesus yet, your salvation can be revealed by the grace of God. He wants to make known to you Jesus. See, the gift of salvation in Jesus, it releases righteousness into your life. Let's look to the Word of God today. Let's look at Romans 5:17-19. This is what it says. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about this morning, I'm referring to Adam and Eve, the book of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. Jesus is the gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. See, when you receive Jesus, you have the power to triumph over sin and death. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everybody. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging for me today. Yes, things went wrong at the beginning with Adam, but God made a way with Jesus for us to come back in relationship with him. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. Let me say that again today. Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God. Because of the act of righteousness of Jesus, you've been made right with God. You've been made right. You've been made righteous through Jesus. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because of one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. I don't know about you, but that is so, so encouraging. Your salvation in Jesus finds you having been made righteous because of his act of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want to encourage you, lift your heads today. Lift your heads. You have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Yes, you make mistakes. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, we go through challenges and trials that we wish we had done better. And yes, we wish we had responded rather than reacted a certain way. But can I encourage you today, lift your head. You have been made righteous in Jesus. In the middle of everything that's happened over the last year and a half, you are still the righteousness of God in Jesus. Yes, we would have preferred things to be a different way, but we are still the righteousness of God through Jesus. In fact, this is what it says in Romans 6:18. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves of righteous living. How encouraging is that? That no longer are we a slave to the old way of life anymore. See, God calls you to be committed to the practice of right living, the practice of righteousness, the way of living as Christ did. He's called us to that. Rather than being a slave to sin and the old ways and doing the wrong things, he calls us to be a slave to righteous living. It's like, I want to go about my days practicing righteousness as Christ did. You know, it can be easy to think that when you become a follower of Jesus that we just need to look like we're doing the right thing on Sunday. And, you know, maybe for many of us, maybe that has been a practice. Maybe it was a practice. Maybe you think that that's the right thing to do. I want to encourage you today. The practice of righteous living, the practice of righteousness, it's a daily, everyday thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Sunday-centric thing. It's an everyday thing that overflows into your children, that overflows into your family, that overflows into your workplace. Practicing righteousness is what we're called to do. And it could be easy to follow the lead of other people around you who they're Christians, but maybe it's easier to follow their lead on certain things rather than following the practice of righteousness. Maybe it could be easy to justify and rationalize their behavior by, you know, maybe comparing themselves. Maybe you've rationalized and justified some of your behavior by comparing yours to others. Like, well, I'm doing better than them. So maybe it's okay. There's other people who are doing worse than me, so it's okay, I can justify just doing that thing still. I can justify getting up to that behavior. God hasn't called us to rationalize or justify our behavior. He's called us to righteousness. He's called us to holy living, just like Jesus did. Let's not get into the comparison of other people being worse than us, so therefore we're doing okay. No, we're called to live in the righteousness of Jesus. Not even compare ourselves to Jesus or compare ourselves to someone who's doing worse or better. We're just called to live in the righteousness of Jesus. See, that's not how God sees us, doing worse or doing better. He just sees us and he's saved us and he now has called us to be his righteousness through Jesus. Proverbs 21, verses 2 to 3 explains it like this. We justify our actions by appearances, but God examines our motives. Clean living before God and justice with our neighbors mean far more to God than religious performance. This is the way that God explains us through the Word of God. He hasn't called us to justify our actions by looking good or seen to be doing the right thing when people are looking. He's examining the motive of our heart. And he's beckoning us, calling us to match the motive of our heart to the actions of our hands and feet. Can I say that again? He's examining the motive of our heart and beckoning us to match the motive of our heart with the actions of our hands and feet. You know, in Psalm 37, verse 23, it says this, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." You know, those who are godly are righteous. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life." See, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a younger man. Some of you are like, "You're still young." It's like, God bless you. I remember when I was a younger man, and I signed up to the gym with some friends. And I was dead keen to get fit and big. Yes, I was a younger man. And so signed up for the gym, and I got a plan from the personal trainer, and I trained on weights, and I went to circuit for cardio, and I would go so hard that I would find myself on the rev limiter at every training. I was training 6 days a week, and before long, ladies and gentlemen, I was massive. I was huge. I was fit. My neck was as thick as a rugby player. My general health was brilliant. I had executed the plan and was reaping the benefits of the personal trainer. And I want to encourage you that God is like a personal trainer. He has a plan for us, and he wants to direct our steps. He wants to direct the steps of the godly, because he delights in every detail of our lives. But when he gives you the plan that we need to follow it so that we can achieve the maximum results and outcomes. He wants to direct the steps of the godly. He wants to direct the steps of the righteous. But for those things to become outcomes, for those things to become maximum results and outcomes, we have to follow the plan. We have to follow the detail that he has for our lives. You need to practice, you need to train, you need to go through rest, you need to go through recovery so that you can go again. Now, he's given you his word to direct your steps into righteousness. And he delights in the every detail of your lives. He's just calling you to execute the plans and direction that he has for you. To practice righteousness daily is what he's calling you to do. You know, I've got four quick practices for you today that will boost the max righteousness that has been given to you. These are just some of the ways that you can practice righteousness. And I'm praying for you today that even as I'm speaking, that God will reveal to you other areas in your life that you can practice righteousness in. Maybe there's certain areas that you used to be practicing righteousness in, but other things have crept in. Other practices have crept in. My prayer today is, even as I'm speaking, that God will just begin to put his finger on those things, and you'll be like, yes, I need to lay that down, and I need to get back to the practice of righteousness. The first one today, the first practice of righteousness I want to speak about is being in a place to maintain our integrity. Being in a place to maintain our integrity. You know, the courage to maintain our integrity regardless of the circumstance. We've had lots of circumstances go on in the last 18 months. We've had lots of things happen in the last 18 months. But having the courage to maintain your integrity, that's the righteousness of Jesus. To maintain your integrity and not give up and slip up and do the wrong thing, because it will help you get ahead. See, in spite of all Jesus had endured, he was able to maintain his integrity. But I want us to look at Job for a moment in the Bible. In spite of all that he had endured, he was able to maintain his integrity. And he declared that the righteous maintain their integrity in Jesus. And this is what it says in Job 17, verse 9. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way, and the one who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. What does that mean? This is what it means. That as you practice righteousness, as challenges come, as you take the courage of the Spirit of God that's in you, that you will hold true to the righteous ways that you're already walking in. And as you do that, as your hands are clean and pure, that they haven't been put to unrighteous things, they haven't been put to other ways to get ahead in life, as they've only been put to the righteous ways of God, that you'll grow stronger and stronger. I want to encourage you, if you've been wrestling and you're doing the right thing and you feel like it's just been a wrestle to stay true to the integrous ways of Jesus, I want to encourage you, your hands are clean and you're growing stronger and stronger. It's like, oh, but I don't feel it, Pastor. The Word of God says that as you practice the ways of righteousness and you hold on to those ways, that your hands are clean and you're growing stronger and stronger day by day. You know, for those unfamiliar with the story of Job, he lost everything that he owned. Family, belongings, health, peace. And yet, in the practice of righteousness, he finds himself holding on to God's truth and God's faithfulness. You know, maybe you're going through challenges. Maybe there's things that it looks like you're losing in your life. Can I encourage you, hold on to the practices of righteousness? God's truth, God's faithfulness will be made known. See, knowing that any righteousness that he had came from God, he chose to hold firm in the ways of God. It wasn't self-righteousness. It wasn't putting on his Sunday best. It was righteousness from God, and he knew that the only way out was to practice the righteousness that had been given to him. He chose to hold firm in the ways of God. Can I encourage you today? Hold firm in the righteous ways of God. See, the ultimate courage to each and every single one of us was, it showed that it was Jesus had the ultimate courage. The ultimate courage to stand firm in his righteousness and his integrity. To hold firm in the fact that it was he that was called to save the world from sin and lead us into righteousness. You know, Jesus went through the trial, the challenge of the cross, the humiliation of the crowd. And I want to encourage you today that as a follower of Jesus, you have the same spirit dwelling in you. Everything that he went through, endured, the same spirit dwells in you. So when challenge comes, when a moment comes where you're like, maybe I should just give up my integrity just so that I can get this done. Can I encourage you? The same spirit that Christ has in him is the same spirit that dwells in you. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Keep going in what God's called you to do. Especially in these days that we are living in right now. Lay hold of your righteousness in Christ. Practice the righteousness of Jesus. Number two, second practice of righteousness, bearing fruit. Now, this refers to bearing God's fruit in your life and rejecting the fruits of ungodly practice. God has called each and every single one of us to bear fruit. But he also calls us to reject the fruit of ungodly practice. It's not about wishing for the easy way out. You know, sometimes it's like, if this could just be easier. Life would be so much easier if I didn't have to do duh. Life would be so much easier if I didn't have to actually do fitness to get fit. Life would be so much easier if I didn't have to eat healthy things to get healthy. I'm preaching to myself this morning, amen. And some people at the back of the room. See, it's not about wishing for the easy way out. It's not about cutting corners to get the prize. It's about holding true to godly practice in business, in the workplace, in family, wherever God leads your feet to tread. It's about being integrous and bearing good fruit. Proverbs 12 verse 12 says it like this. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well rooted and bear their own fruit. Don't have to steal from anybody else. Don't have to take on somebody else's identity. Don't have to take on somebody else's personality. Don't have to act like anybody else. You just need to practice righteousness, because when you practice righteousness, it shows that you're well rooted in Jesus, and then you will bear your own fruit. Amen. Amen. The daily practice of not cutting corners to get ahead, it's a hard one. It's a wrestle that happens deep within. But it's one that should cause you to grapple with doing what is right and righteous. I want to encourage each and every single person watching today, whether you're older or whether you're much younger, can I encourage you, young person, grapple with this. Wrestle with this. It will lay the plans and direction that God has for you in front of you, and it will cause righteousness to pour over in your life, but it'll also cause peace to outwork in your life. Start early with these things. These are some of the things that aren't a blessing from God. Just in case you're wondering, what am I wrestling with? When someone gives you too much change at the shop, give it back. Give it back. It's not yours. You haven't worked for it. It's not the bounty of God that He has for you. That is somebody else's money. I want to encourage you, when you take those ill-gotten gains, how's God going to bless that? Give it back. When someone messes up the price on something, make them aware. That is not God making a way. That's someone messing up the price on something. When someone drops money in front of you, get it back to their hand ASAP. That's a blessing that God has brought into their life and not yours. God wants to cultivate ways for you to grow so that you can bear your own fruit, not take on somebody else's. Those are just a couple of examples. There's many other ways. But God wants to cultivate ways for you to grow so that you can bear your own fruit. For example, He will make it possible for you to get the savings that you need for your house deposit. He will find avenues of blessing. He will find a way for your family and your children to come back into relationship with you and Him. He will open up ways to encourage your colleagues with the good news of Jesus. He will use the gifts that He has given you. He will do those things. We just have to commit to the ways of practicing righteousness. You don't need to cover another person's finance, blessings, relationships, or gifts. Be deep rooted in Him and bear the righteousness of fruit that He has for you. That's His promise to you today. Number three, practicing righteousness. Speaking up for and defending the poor. Speaking up for and defending the poor. And I've got in brackets in my notes today, in a righteous way. Could be really easy to say, I'm gonna speak up for and defend the poor, but then go about it in a way that just doesn't look like Jesus. No, He's called us to speak up for and to defend the poor in a righteous way. More often than not, that looks less like a soapbox and more like taking your food and clothing to someone who needs it. Yes, we advocate, but in a righteous way. Proverbs 31 verse 9 says this, yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. See, practicing righteousness means not affirming our commitment to those who deprive and mistreat the innocent and the poor and the helpless. And I understand this morning, even though I'm saying this, this is going to cause a wrestle in some people, may even get you so frustrated that you're tempted to hit the stop button on the stream. But I just want to encourage you today, don't affirm other people who commit acts of atrocity, who make other people poorer than they need to be, who who beat up on the innocent with their words and withhold from the poor and those who are helpless. That's not God's heart. Remember, he wants to see the motives of our heart. That's what he's looking for. I want to encourage each and every single one of us. When we get so caught up in politics and having to support a left or a right or a center or whatever, we get so caught up in these things that we miss the heart of Jesus. Those people who are running politics, yes, God has put certain people in place, but it doesn't mean that we have to stand on a side and affirm. No, there's a third side, and it's called God. Let's stand with God, amen? If you turned off the stream yet, you're still there. See, God has called us to truly practice righteousness, and our hearts should have compassion, and our words should lead us to action that says, I'm not okay with this. I need to do something about it. It's easy, to be conformed to the general sway of society's mistreatment of people or simply the way society in general talks about people. I, just like you, am probably guilty of this in some way at some time. It's not my motive, it's not my heart, but we don't always get it right, do we? But I want to encourage you. Just because we've said something once or done something, there is always a way to practice righteousness, come back to the ways of Jesus. For example, the way that people may talk about homeless people in the mall, about the kids who hang it out your shops or your skate park, about the family in your street who doesn't cut their grass at all or to the neighborhood standard. It's easy to conform to it, but our righteousness in Jesus tells us that these individuals may need support. They may need an advocate. They may need encouragement. They may need nurture. They may need food or clothing or love. These things are more important than who's hanging out where or how the grass is cut. Jesus puts it like this in Matthew 25. We're reading from verse 34 to 40 today. It says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.'" Verse 37. "Then these righteous ones, they've been practicing righteousness. These righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" It's powerful. It's powerful. Speaking up for and defending the poor. It's the heart of God. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Let it lead you to the practices of righteousness. Fourth practice that we're going to talk about today. And it's about rejecting all falsehoods. Rejecting all falsehoods. I'm going to read from Colossians verse 7 to 10 today. Now, I want to encourage you. Let the word of God permeate your heart today. Let this wrestle lead you to practicing righteousness. Colossians 2, verse 7 to 10 says this, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Verse 8. Watch out for people who try and dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through empty traditions of human beings and empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so that you can see him and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything, rejecting falsehoods. See, in the days that we live in, everyone seems to have a new way of understanding the universe, which ultimately comes back to the fact that they would prefer to and would like to be the God of their own life. Stretching things, twisting things, rationalizing things, justifying things to make them feel good about who they are. Rejecting falsehoods. So I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid to put people's thoughts and opinions to the test. Don't be afraid to do that. Put people's thoughts and opinions to the test. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. Does it line up with the fullness that's found in Jesus, as talked about in 2 Colossians? Does it line up with the fullness? It literally says, when you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. See, his fullness, do their opinions, do their thoughts, do they line up with the fullness of Jesus? Does it line up with God's best for you? Are they using big words to try and dazzle you, to convince you? Are they using intellectual double talk that it doesn't matter what you answer, you're still going to be wrong? They're spreading their ideas, their empty ideas. It's based on human traditions. What does that mean? Humanistic thoughts and behaviors and patterns that humans have invented. That's what it means. Humanism, it's what it means. So don't be afraid to put their thoughts to the test, their ideas to the test. Does it line up with the Word of God? Does it pass the Bible test? See, fancy ideas don't come close to the resurrection power of Jesus, right? Self-indulgent living, masters, saving yourself doesn't compare to a loving God that loved you so much that he sent Jesus to make a way so that you could have a perfect relationship with God and have the overflowing power of God in your life. It doesn't compare. But you got to put it to the test. You got to reject the falsehoods. You got to reject the rationalized reasonings of humans. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't pass the Bible test. Amen. I'll say it again today. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He's called us to practice righteousness. That's what he's called us to do. This morning, if you're watching for the first time or you're tuning into church because you haven't been part of church for a while, can I encourage you? God loves you. He loves you and he's called you to righteousness. If you're a regular attender of church, God loves you and he's called you to practice righteousness. You know, maybe some of the things that you've been doing in life, you know that it's not God's best for you, but you've been doing it for so long that it's just become this regular habit that seems unbreakable. Can I encourage you? It's never too late to allow God's righteousness to bust those things off your life. It's never too late for God's righteousness to make a way in your life. It's never too late for the Lord to direct the steps of the righteous. It's never too late to allow God to come to every detail of your life. He delights in every detail of our life. It's never too late. It's like maybe there's details in your life that you're like, you've been trying to hide from God. Maybe there's details of your daily practice, like that just happens over there and nobody knows about it. Can I encourage you? It's time to reject all falsehoods. It's time to reject everything that's false and doesn't line up with the righteousness of God. The same power of Jesus dwells in you. The same power that he used to overcome sin, the same power that he went through the cross and the trial and the challenge with, the same power dwells in you. And the same power, as you practice righteousness, will allow those things to be broken off your life in Jesus' name. You know, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, this is what I'd love to do. I would love to introduce you to a relationship with Jesus. I would love to introduce you to the God of all creation of the universe who loved you so much that he sent Jesus to make a way for you to have perfect relationship with God. He did it for all. He did it for everyone, including you. This is what it says in Romans 10 verse 9, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as taking that first step of coming into relationship with God. Now, if you're watching and you're like, I want to know Jesus. I want to know his power. I want to know what it is to practice righteousness every day. I want to know what it is to be able to stand against those things that come against me in righteousness. If that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer after me. You know, maybe you're watching for the first time in a while, and you've kind of been off doing your own thing for a bit. You know, this is as good a morning as any. Today's the day to make a relationship with God, to come back into true relationship with him and start walking with him, following his path for your life. If that's you, why don't we pray? Everybody who's at home together, can you join me in praying, supporting those who are praying for the first time or praying again? Why don't we pray? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you came to the cross, that you were buried, and you rose again to forgive my sins. Thank you, God, that you loved me so much that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus rose from the grave by God's power. And today, I surrender my life and I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. You pray that prayer for the first time. I want to encourage you. Don't leave it there. That is the greatest first prayer you can ever pray. Jesus now dwells in your heart. You now have perfect relationship with God. Sin no longer controls your life. There is a new life that God has for you. But don't leave it there. Get in contact with us. You can go to gc.org.au/first steps. There's information about what to do now, the first steps of following Jesus. And there's also a link so that you can get in contact with us, so that you can be encouraged of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and not do it on your own. You know, this morning, this is what I'd love to do. Just for a moment, we've got time this morning, and just for a moment, I would just love you to have time to reflect this morning after this message. You know, there may be things that God has been speaking to you about while I'm preaching today. There also may be some things that he wants to make known to you. So in a moment, we're just going to have a moment of reflection. Can I encourage you? Open your heart. Let the Spirit of God come and speak to you this morning.